Wanna go, pretty boy?
Two minutes by yourself and you feel shame, you know, and then you get free.
The only thing better than a glass of beer is tea with Miss McGill.
And welcome to the Fourth Line Voice Podcast. My name is Darren. Thank you very much for tuning in. Episode 290 of The Big Show, some enforcer-based podcasting coming at you, brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network. How's everybody doing out there? Another Sunday. Minor League Mayhem Sunday. How about it? Get out and vote, folks. Yes, the sixth annual Minor League Mayhem Tournament is underway. Of course, I'm recording this Saturday. I just actually put the bracket up in the first eight fights of round one. I put them up about an hour ago. And voting is coming in quick, so, and it's on Facebook this year, not on Twitter. It's my first attempt at a Facebook voting, so we'll see how that goes. But yeah, today's show, I know I always say I'm not going to talk for long, and then I end up rambling for like an hour and 20 minutes. Today's actually is not going to be long, because I actually have an interview to record here in about 2 hours. And I'm going to be talking to Ron, a fellow fight fan and a huge fight tape collector. And he started in the hobby before I did. And we're going to share some old trading stories. I think this episode will probably be more towards the older folks that remember the classifieds in the back of the Hockey News and the Aggressive Hockey Report and mixing it up newsletters and all that stuff. So Ron and I plan on going down that, taking that walk down the memory lane. And basically, we're just going to talk about the pioneers of the fight tape hobby. And it's, I'm sure a few people are like, who gives a shit and whatever, rolling their eyes. But all the hockey fights that you see on YouTube from the 70s, from older than 2005 or whatever, those were all from fight collectors. And if those guys hadn't, especially the 60s, 70s, 80s stuff, if those guys hadn't been around, that stuff's gone. You're never going to see half of Probert's career and stuff like that, and or Chris Nyland's fights or whatever. And that was all YouTube was, the hockey fight, whatever we want to call it, the hockey fight channels that are on YouTube would not exist without these original guys. And then from them and the original guys, they spawned other people or gave the other people the idea to start taping, myself included. And, so you got junior stuff. So that's why you see some of the Blade stuff that's on my channel. Well, that wouldn't exist if I hadn't recorded it. I'm not trying to pat myself on the back, but I'm just saying that's them's the facts because no one else was taping it. And it's the same thing, obviously mine's very minimal with the junior stuff, but there are guys that tape the old Flyer stuff, Bruin stuff, whatever, that would not be out there if they didn't do it and then trade their tapes, in some cases sell, but whatever. And, the YouTube fight channels wouldn't exist. So we're going to go down that and we're going to talk about all that. And I don't know, I think it's going to be, it's my show or whatever. I'm going to find it interesting anyway, but I hope you guys will tune in and check that out. But I think that'll be Wednesday's episode. Wednesday or next Sunday, but probably Wednesday. So, but I'll let you know. Keep you posted. What are we going to talk about today? So, to kind of keep it brief, because I think I got a lot of talking in my future here this afternoon. But I still want to bring you guys something for today. I keep saying, want to say tomorrow because it's Saturday, but you know what I'm saying. Now I have all this stuff spread out. Where are my notes here? I'm going to do my week on the internet, but I'm going to save that till the end. Oh, drama in podcast land. Well, not in podcast land, actually in fantasy fight tournament land. I'll get to that at the end. I'll see. Whatever. We'll discuss it later. We got players crying on Instagram. Old Paul Bissonnette went off on Gary Bettman and the referees on Spit and Chiglets. I'll share that little bit of audio. Yeah, we're gonna open some hockey cards. I always like opening the hockey cards in an audio only format. You guys love it. A really interesting kind of topic that's taken place in one of the fight groups. Somebody had posted something about Probert and his 50 losses or something like that. And then, of course, a whole bunch of, Bobby never lost that many, three tops, or, you know, like some ridiculous thing. So anyway, Rob, this member, basically went and put a whole bunch of video clips up. He went to the old Drop Your Gloves site, found it on the Wayback Machine, went to Probert's fight card, and back then you could vote on the fights. So basically, he just posted the fights that people voted that he lost on that happened to be on YouTube. So, and he put them up, and there were probably 45 or 50, well, 50 of them, I guess. And I reviewed them, and we'll get into all that. How many losses did Probert have? We'll see. But it created quite the controversy on the site, so we'll talk about that. It was an interesting kind of, and he put a lot of effort, put a lot of work into it. And, but we'll talk about that. Anyway, what should we talk about first? I guess first I got to throw out that you guys already know that I'm a member of the Hockey Podcast Network. Did you know there's over 50 shows in the network? I bet you do. Every NHL team, there is a podcast. So whatever team you're a fan of, check it out. There's a podcast for you. Terry Ryan is also on the network. And I'm trying to think who his latest guest was. Leah Hextall. Yeah, that a little heat there. But he has Langdon. It's Terry Ryan. He's got great guests. And then also, for my off-network friends, of course, we got Jolt and Joe Lazito. Traveling man down to Orlando, picking up some sun. You know, drinking some Mai Tais, hanging out. And then he also went to the Solar Bears. Of course, the general manager and coach there, Matt Karkner, brought Joe down to talk to the guys, which is really cool. But yes, Joe has the Nordiques Knuckles podcast, and he's got part two of Ivan Matulik's interview out right now. So check that out. Check out Joe's back catalog. He does a tremendous job. It was funny. I think it was the last episode of the episode before when I was talking about Joe's podcast. Something in this room caught my eye, and for whatever reason, I just splurted out, I need to talk to Joe about something and get him on the show. And then, so Joe was listening to the episode a day or two later, and he texted me, he goes, yeah, what did you need to talk to me about? I completely forgot. To this day, I have not remembered what it was that I wanted to talk to him about. I think it had something to do with the Tough Guy magazines, but I can't remember. Yeah, so there you go. Getting old, folks. As I'm talking, I'm like looking around the room right now and like trying to find like something that'll spark what I thought I needed to talk to Joe about. I don't know what just flashed through my head. It's interesting. Sometimes like I just basically put on headphones and, sit in the chair here and I basically just sort of spin back and forth while I'm talking to you guys and, with the lights off, kind of just staring out my basement window here, kind of looking at the neighbor's fence and their window here. And yeah, I'm doing it actually right now. I got my hands behind my head and I'm just sort of turning and I don't know. So as I'm, because it's like I have like bullet points of what I want to talk about, but I never have anything written out. Well, people, long-term listener, like, yeah, no shit. So I'm just sort of, as it comes to my head, I'm basically talking about it. So that's why I say so many of those phrases. But anyway, sorry, Joe, I don't know, but I'm going to have Joe back on the show just because I like having Joe back on the show. We'll talk about a few things, but, as I mentioned at the start, Minor League Mayhem 6 is taking place. It is my voting tournament where 64 of the minor league's toughest guys in a March Madness style bracket, and we vote it down until one remains. Last year's winner was Steve McIntyre, so he is not participating in this one. I always sit a guy, whoever the winner is, I sit him out for a year. Just let someone else win. And, but always fun to vote, and I've always done these tournaments on Twitter. And I just think Twitter's just, Maybe if it was in a, like the Probert tournament in the summer, maybe that would do better on Twitter, I think, maybe, because it's NHL and okay. But I think with the minor league stuff, I think it will, it's going to do better on Facebook, just because there's so many ex-players on Facebook, and I think there's a lot more, and I've mentioned it in the fight groups and stuff, so I mean, obviously that's a target-rich environment, as they would say. And so I think the voting will be, well, I'll put it this way, I guess maybe it might not be more, but I think it'll be more knowledgeable in some cases. So, you know what I'm saying, though. I mean, it's one thing with the ex-players. Obviously, they know. But, you know, fight fans, I'm sort of split on that. But, I mean, it's terms of knowledge. But you know what I'm saying. So, I think, yeah, it'll be interesting. I'm just going to see how it plays out on Facebook this year. And, you know, if the turnout sucks and it's not really happening, then I'll go back to Twitter. But I just think Twitter is just a dying... Well, I don't want to say Twitter's dying, because that sounds ridiculous. I'm saying in terms of how, for me, and like kind of the hockey fight niche thing, I just... Because you put stuff up, and you just don't get the responses and the replies anymore. I guess maybe that's me. I could be putting lame shit up, too. I don't think I'm doing anything different than I've ever done on Twitter, though. And... You just don't get the response. And I think, I'm sure if I was putting up like new fights from this year and like talking about Reeves and Lucic and whatever, you know, obviously that would bring up more of the hockey Twitter community, because it's young, it's the new generation, right? They don't give a shit about Archie Henderson and, you know, and Val James and stuff like that, unfortunately. Well, I mean, they don't know who they are. So it's not like they're shunning them, but they just don't know who they are. So you're not going to get the engagements. You know, and, yeah, so, you know, at any rate, we'll try it on Facebook. So Fourth Line Voice on Facebook, I don't know if you, I'm assuming most people listening probably have Facebook pages. Even if you don't post anymore, or you haven't gone on Facebook forever, blow the dust off, get the password out, log into your Facebook thing, and just go to Fourth Line Voice. It's an open page. You don't have to be a friend or follow or whatever, I don't think, to vote. I wouldn't think so. It's an open form. And just vote. They don't have voting polls on Facebook. That's the only thing that bugs me. I couldn't find a voting poll. That's what I liked about Twitter, because you could put the pictures and then the voting poll, blah, blah, blah. You can't do that on Facebook. So basically, it's like I have a picture of the two guys, and then you have to use emojis. So it's like thumbs up for the one guy, and then the angry face for the other guy, and we'll just add them up at the end. So, because they keep the running total at the bottom, right? So, I mean, that's as good as any, I guess. I mean, whatever, it's kind of a goofy kind of voting deal, but, I mean, you can still vote, right? So, but yeah, blow off the dust to your Facebook profile and Fourth Line Voice on Facebook, and jump in and vote. Like I said, it's 8 fights per round for the first round anyway. And then, each group goes for 24 hours. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing the results, and always fun. And they're always fun. And like I said, not only vote, but maybe throw out some comments and just why you voted that way. Or if you have a story of some certain guy, like, oh, I remember when Mitch Fritz played Norfolk and blah, 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 you know, 'cause that's what it's all about, is to create conversation about these guys. And, share stories and stuff like that. And yeah, and it's just a fun little fantasy thing that, you know, I don't think we need to name call or get all serious about or swear about, but, you know, I think just to create conversation and to, recognize those guys is what it's all about. So please get out, vote. I encourage you to, please. The next thing I want to talk, well, yeah. So Mike Hoffman and AJ Greer kind of for the Montreal and Boston kind of got into it the other night, and Greer ended up cross-checking Hoffman in the chin, and it was a pretty nasty cut, but he came back and played and everything, but Greer got kicked out and got suspended for 1 game. Okay. So Mike Hoffman goes on his Instagram in his house. First of all, he's wearing a toque. Why are you wearing a toque inside? You look ridiculous. Take your toque off. But he's sitting there and he does this video crying about player safety and what a joke it is and how he could only got one. I got two games when I cross-checked a guy in the helmet. This guy cross-checks me in the face and only gets one. Oh, you know, and it's just kind of like, okay. Like, I mean, I'm not, okay, if you think you should get more and whatever, I'm not saying that, but just like, really, we got guys on Instagram, going on Instagram crying about, you know, I mean, I've heard some shit about Mike Hoffman. Of course, he's the one with Carlson's wife, him and his girlfriend and all that, going after Carlson and his wife or whatever. I mean, he sounds like a goof anyway, but it's just like, what? First of all, I'm not, whatever, you don't cross-check someone in the face, but go to the video. They're kind of whacking at each other on the face-off. Then Hoffman slashes Greer in that gloves. And then, so Greer starts coming towards him because they're both on the wing there. And then Hoffman lifts his stick up in a cross-checking motion. He doesn't, like, cross-check at Greer, but he lifts his stick up. Well, when you're getting close to a guy and he lifts his stick up, what do you think he's going to do? Probably cross-check you. So Greer cross-checked him, and he hit him below the jaw. And I think by Greer's reaction, you could see it's like, well, I didn't mean to hit you in the, like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think he meant to cross-check him right in the face. It was just sort of like, well, you brought your stick up first, so I'm going to bring mine up and whatever. I guess, for lack of a better term, he beat you to the punch. Now, I'm not trying to condone what Greer did. I mean, you know, it's, you know, cross-check people in the face. I mean, whatever. At the same time, it's, you know, tensions are up and you're whacking and hacking each other and you bring your stick up. I will say this. This is my little hot take on the situation. If Hoffman doesn't bring his stick up like that, he doesn't get cross-checked in the face. I don't think Greer is just going to do that. He's not going to just, yeah, here, whack. Because, you know, he's never had a history of it. He's never been suspended for it, whatever. So I don't think it's intentional. Now, again, should he have been suspended? Yeah, I can see it. But, I mean, of course, oh, they give him the season. Oh, okay. Well, the guy didn't miss it. You know, the guy came back and played in the game. So let's settle down. You know, a couple games, whatever. One game, two games. What are we doing? And then Hoffman. Well, second of all, Hoffman, you fucking wound up and cross-checked Couture right in the back of the head with your stick. So, and he didn't even see nothing coming. And he wasn't even involved. It wasn't like you guys were involved in anything or whatever. You just came up from behind him and drilled him in the back of the head. So you got two games. You should have probably got more than that. But, you know, I'm sure you didn't go on Instagram with your toucan in your living room and make a video about that, though, did you? Yeah, probably not. So, I don't know. This whole, I think that's probably what bugged me more, is just to go on social media and cry about it like some little fucking fanboy bitch. It's like, fuck, really, dude? Like, just take your shit and punishment and sit down. Like, whatever. If you're so pissed about it, fight him next game. I mean, whatever. It's just kind of, so fucking lame. Anyway. The next little piece, of course, I talked about it last episode with the whole Jordan Binnington Fleury thing. Like, just let him fight. Although I think Binnington didn't really want to fight, you know, selling wolf tickets, as they say. It's what he was doing. But I think that's what he does his whole career, is sell wolf tickets. But, oh, hold me back, why I oughta, yeah, okay, you're lucky, yeah, you know, he's that guy, right? Anyway, Fleury went down there and was, like, yelling at the, because he was mic'd up, too, he was like, let him go, and the refs are all breaking it up and whatever, you know, well, anyway, old Paul Bissonnette went on Spit and Chiglets and really blasted Bettman and the refs and shit, so, I know this is, I'm playing someone else's podcast, and I mean, it's Spit and Chiglets, the biggest podcast in the world. I'm pretty sure no one from their group is listening to my show or really cares. So I just want to, because I know not everyone out there listens to Spit and Chiglets. Mostly everybody does, but there might be a few people listening to the show that didn't hear what Biz said. So I'll play it for you now, and we'll talk about it here. So hold on here. I'll cue it up. So forgive me, Spit and Chiglet, for using a bit of your audio. I hope you don't come after me or anything. I didn't record your whole show. I'm just going to use this as an example.
If you're a fucking NHL linesman and you're listening to this right now, stop stopping fights. Never
must
in your
be being told, but there's no
off.
Explanation
if,
for
if,
it.
If Kim Jong Bettman's telling them to not allow them to fight, on behalf of me, tell them to fuck off.
Hey, Biz told me you can go.
Yeah. That is what's selling the game. That is what separates our game from the other major sports. And if you take that away, just like they're doing in the queue, and we're going to get that later, it's fucking stupid. Allow it. You saw everybody on their feet. You saw everybody online and any casual hockey fan all of a sudden paying attention to that fucking hockey game. So what do? They don't let them fight.
So there we go. That's Paul Bissonnette's take on it. Well done, Biz. I completely agree. The one thing I don't listen to Spit and Chicklets. Not that I have anything against Spit and Chicklets. I don't really listen to hockey podcasts other than a few of my friends' shows. But, well, one now. Because it's just, I deal with this all the time, so I don't care to listen to it. I might have to go back and listen to that because I want to hear what they talk about with the Q. I always laugh when people keep, I've said in the, seen in the comment section and everything about, oh, well, they're banning fighting in the queue and woke and blah, 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 and all this. They did that shit like 3 years ago. Like, you guys are just cluing in now. Now they're just making a game misconduct. It was already down to three fights, just like the Ontario League. I don't know why all of a sudden everyone's acting like this is like new shit, you know, so whatever. But anyway, not that I expect Biz and these guys to like pay attention to, you know, junior hockey or whatever. I mean, they deal in the NHL and stuff like that, or in some minor league stuff, but you know what I'm saying. So I get it, but it's just like, I just see all these people that, all these fight fans that just live in this, like, junior NHL bubble that all of a sudden it's like, the Q's batting fights, what? Like, well, where have you been for the last how many years? Like, tell me you pay no attention to hockey outside the NHL without saying you don't pay any attention to hockey outside the NHL. I mean, see, this is why you should be listening to the Fourth Line Voice. I've been talking about this shit since the day they started putting in the fight rules. You know, no one listens to old Darren over here. but no, I mean, I completely agree with Biz and, it was pretty stiff on Bettman there too. But yeah, I'll say one thing for Bissonnette and those guys, from what I've seen in their comments and stuff like that. I mean, and Ryan Whitney and stuff, they don't hold back. I mean, you know, they, I mean, maybe long-term listeners of the Spit and Chicklets will say they do. I don't, maybe they do or don't, but I mean, I've seen a bunch of their Spit and Chicklets clips and it's like, you know, they say the shit that they want to say. So, I mean, I'll always give them that. So, but yeah, in this case, yeah, I couldn't agree with Biz more, obviously. And, I've said this for a little while now with not just with that fight, but I mean, just their breaking up of fights in general, or if there's a scrum, like I've always said, they jump in there like they're breaking up 8-year-olds in the playground, like they're teachers or something. It's like, let them go. Like if it's one guy that doesn't want him, he's catching shots and he's okay. Well, obviously, but if these are grown adults, two guys are saying, let's go. Yeah, let's go. Like, move then, just get out of the way. Like, I mean, why does everyone have to be Kevin Collins all of a sudden? It's like, just let him fight. Because like I said, I've said this a bunch of times on this show, when they break shit up and you have these fans booing, someone explain to me how that's good for the product. You're Joe Blow sitting on the couch at home. You can hear them all booing. You're probably booing on your couch, but you can hear them all booing your product. If you're at the rink, you have 18,000 people booing. Paying customers are booing what they're watching. Who sits there? Oh, no, it's all fine. It's good. No, it's good. Yeah. Oh, they'll get over it, you know. What? No. Oh, I'm sure. Oh, the friggin' Ken Campbell's and James Myrtle's and the Stu Cowan's of the world sitting up in the press box. Oh yeah, no, they don't need that foolishness. No one comes here to see that. I love when they write that. No one wants fighting. Oh, sure. Like, talk about, be more obtuse. You know, yeah, you're sitting in a press box and 18,000 people around you are booing because they broke up the fight and you're sitting there writing it down. Yeah, no one wanted to see that. Like, okay. Talk about pushing an agenda. Anyway. That always kind of cracks me up. Yeah, they're not impressing anybody. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's what, like, you watch these fight tapes. Never was. So you have a couple of the announcers. What's his name? Sam Rose in there in New York crying about fighting. Well, no one really needs to see this. Meanwhile, they show people banging on the glass as the fight's getting broken up. Yeah, okay, Sam. Yeah. Isn't that Putz in the Hall of Fame? Isn't Sam Rosen in the Hockey Hall of Fame? How's he in and Cherry's not? Someone explain that one to me. Anyway.
And now, here's a word from our sponsor.
The biggest tournament in college basketball is underway, and the action is just getting started on DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps. Right now, new customers can bet just $5 on any pregame moneyline bet and score $150 in bonus bets if your team wins. Plus, combine multiple bets for a shot at even bigger payouts. DraftKings will feature parlays and odd boosts all tournament long, so be sure to check out the DraftKings Sportsbook app every day and see what we have in store. Yeah, guys, upsets galore. What a tournament it's been so far. Some great final, Sweet 16 matchups. Gonzaga, UCLA, or Alabama and Houston going to keep rolling. We'll see. Can Florida Atlantic keep the Cinderella story going a little longer? I love this time of year. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and sign up with code THPN. Right now, new customers can bet $5 on any pregame moneyline bet and get $150 in bonus bets if your team wins. Only at the DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details.
And now back to your regularly scheduled program.
Enough of that. Let's move on. We're keeping it moving here quick here, folks. Like I said, we're gonna open up some hockey cards here. I was at the Dollarama. Thankfully, the Dollarama, I think in their newer packages, they've gone away from the bloody Upper Deck Swedish packs that they were giving away. If anybody needs any packs of Upper Deck Swedish hockey cards, I got about a dozen here. But yeah, we're back to 91-92 Upper Deck. How's that? Right in the wheelhouse. The early 90s junk era. I love it. Who are we going to get here, folks? Jason Daw, top prospects. This one's awesome because he's got like the hat on the basically on the back of his head. Sean Van Allen. Oh, there you go. Former Blade. Rod the Bod Brindamore. There you go. Thomas Sandstrom, Canada Cup. I think he's still got the Dave Brown coho tattoo. Steve Larmer, underrated star. Yeah, you go look at his stats. Points 84, 89, 87, 90, 101 with the Blackhawks. There you go. That's production right there. How's that, Nola? 80 game, 44 goals, 47 assists, 79 minutes and penalties, plus 37. Solid, solid. Glenn Anderson, another solid player. I was never an Anderson guy, but had a hell of a career, though. Oh, there we go. Wendell Clark, folks. Beauty. That's going over here in that pile. Oh, classic. Andre Red Light Rassico. Brett Hall. Yeah, Brett Hall was definitely the man in the early 90s. Definitely, yeah. 90-91. 78 games, 86 goals, 45 assists, 131 points, plus 23. Yeah. Very much like kind of the pre-Ovechkin, right? Like he'd line up over on the side there and on the power play, and just as soon as the puck came to him, boom, slap shot in. Randy Valachek. There you go. Kevin Stevens. Tell you, another, that 90-91 season, man, 80 games, 40 goals, 46 assists, 133 minutes of penalties. I think it was the year after this, he had 50 goals and 200 minutes. Although the 200 minutes thing, I think he had like one fight. It's like you have 200 and some minutes and you were in one fight. That's a lot of bad penalties. But big dude, 6'3", 217. Sounds like he's really come around. I know he had addiction problems and stuff, but I think he's battled back from those, and sounds like he's doing better. So that's good to hear. But yeah, what a player! Solid run there in the early 90s. Oh, and the final card in the pack, Knuckles Nyland. There we go, Nyland and Clark. That's all right. Yeah, Nyland's with the Bruins. He always looks weird in a Bruins uniform. 90-91 with the Bruins, 41 games, he had 6 goals, 9 assists, 277 minutes of penalties, and a plus 4, there you go, attaboy Chris. Actually, Nyland was a decent player, a lot better player than people give him credit for, so those will go in the cement pile. There we go, wasn't that exciting? I mentioned you were on the edge of your seat for that little piece of business. Now, let's get into this. The fired part here of the thing, the Bob Probert, how many losses did Bob have? Well, let's have a look here. I'm going to go look up the exact thread here, and we'll talk about it. Okay, I just went back and double-checked to make sure I had the right posting and everything. Yeah, what Rob has done here in the Hockey Fights and Brawls page is basically he found the old, on the Wayback Machine, you can dig up some of the old Drop Your Gloves website, the fight cards. And back then, people would vote on the fights. And one of the things you could look up was like the best or different winning percentages of the guys, win, lose, and draw, blah, blah, blah. And Probert's on here, and basically they have his record at 150 wins, 50 losses, and 66 draws, 65%. And it's been interesting, just going through it, the different percentages. Koser was 140 wins, 21 losses, 63 draws. Dave Brown, 112 wins, 17 losses, 34 draws. Brashear, 155 wins, 39 losses, 49 draws. Stuff like that. So anyway, Rob had posted this, and of course, right away, Probert lost 24 times, this list is garbage, no chance that's close to being accurate. And then, of course, these guys, Probert never lost 50 fights. Of course, which is like, well, how many did he lose then? Well, then, of course, they never reply. So, but it led to a lot of people debating it. So, what Rob did is he went and basically, for those of you who think Probert was untouchable, here are the links to 45 plus times he was on the losing end. Even the king gets beat once in a while. And so he put up all these YouTube clips. So as a trusted journalist, I went through them and watched them all this morning, really early this morning, actually at about 6:45 in the morning, I was down here, going through these. And it was interesting. Now, somebody brought up, and I believe it was Steve, and I will say I completely agree with what Steve is saying here, but I think the kind of the his issue with Rob I think is kind of unjust or unfounded. I think I don't know if he read the whole thread or not, but again, this isn't Rob's opinion on these. It's just he went by what the losses were and then posted the links. So I didn't agree with Steve with this part of it, but in that part in his statement here, but the rest of it completely. Here's what he put. To be honest, I'm surprised he didn't have more. Probert was a straight up fighter who fought open warfare in his fights. The guy gave us everything we ever wanted in a fighter. Lately, it seems there's this revisionist attempt to knock him down a peg. Like we all didn't see him fight some of the biggest fights of the era against the biggest names in the business. The same guy kids dreamed of fighting and spoke of in reverent tones on the grandest of stage, no less. For everyone that pumps Probert as the GOAT or untouchable, there is another bashing him as a cokehead or will mutter Probert wouldn't have won all those fights if his jersey stayed on. They all have their warts. Let's do some revisionist threads on Brown, the guy who jumped people, wore an illegal jersey. Or Ben Wilson and his real estate dealings. Koser had power, but was usually reserved for lower tier fighters. How about we discuss those? I get what Steve is saying there, and he's right. There is this seems to be, and I've talked about it on here, there seems to be this lately, this, yeah, Probert wasn't that great. And I don't know if these guys are just, and I mean, I'm sure some of them are just trolling to try to get, you know, a response or, you know, to get, whatever, you know, attention. Some guys might mean it. I mean, it wasn't like that was never said back in the day because you always had your camp of the Dave Brown guys. But then, of course, then other people, they shit on Brown. And it's like, you know, it is what it is. Everyone has their opinions. But I think, but lately there's been a real, I think what it is that, and I've commented on here, the Probert fanboys are too much. So in order for that, I think some people come up with these bullshit, you know, oh, Probert wasn't that great because, and then they list this, this, and this, and to combat the Bobby is the best, and it's not close, you know, that, those idiots. So, I mean, believe me, there's idiots on both sides of the aisle. But in terms of the fights that he went down, like of the 45 and some that he listed, you know, as somebody pointed out, they're like, well, I started looking at these and not a lot of these were they're really close. They probably should be draws and not losses. And I agree because when I went through them, most of my calls were, they were draws as well. But at the same time, as it was brought up, yeah, but you know, there's probably a lot of wins that he was given that if you went back and looked, those are probably draws too. So, and like I said, I get this is all bullshit, folks. I get it. Believe me. We're just fight fans talking here, right? This is what this podcast is about, to have these little discussions, or, you know, the corner of the Tim Hortons discussion on who was better. That's what this show is about. And it's not in a mean-spirited way or this guy sucks and this guy rules and fuck all of you or anything. That's not what this show's about. It's just to talk about things. And it's a lighthearted look at hockey fighting and just debating, you know, the hobby and everything that we, you know, as fans, right? But I don't think we should, this isn't gospel or we're being real serious here. At least I'm not viewing it as such, but I know some people do. But I think overall, you know, I think we can understand the place that this discussion and podcast has in the world. Believe me, it's not really high, but it's just a fun little escape. So let's remember that while we're doing this. But it was, I don't know. And I've always said, I mean, you could put up a fight video and get 10 different answers from people. People see what they want to see, whether they're Probert fans or Probert haters. Detroit fans, Detroit haters, Chicago fans, blah, 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 blah. You know, really taints people's opinions. You know, and I think a lot of those people you can't kind of really take seriously, because they can't remove their fandom from what their opinion is. I'd like to think I can. I mean, Probert is one of my favorite guys, but I have no problem saying he lost a fight. I don't care that he lost a fight. It doesn't matter to me. If somebody wants to say Dave Brown's the best of all time or Ben Wilson, I don't yell and scream at him. I can see it. I can see why they would say that. I have Probert as a 1A type thing and Brown as a 1B. I have Laroque and Brashear and Bugard and all them in that discussion too. And I brought that up a couple of times, and I did my own top 10 on an episode way back. And I got a few DMs saying I was dumb and whatever. And you know, it's like, oh, okay, whatever. I noticed those people didn't include their top 10. So, but okay, I guess I was the idiot, but, I understand that there's passionate fans about it and they watch these fights. And even in the comment section, the one guy's talking about Langdon and, oh, you got Langdon beating him. Oh, Bobby smoked him. It's like, okay, I don't know what fight you're watching, but sure. But of course, then you look and, oh, from Detroit. And, oh, yeah, well, you know, so he can't. Like, that's what I mean. It's people like that, right, that are just, they get ridiculous about it. But I don't know. The way I've always just looked at fighting, I've said it on here before. To me, most hockey fights to me are draws. Like throwing seven, like if you land seven and the other guy lands four, I'm not okay. He won. Like, no, I mean, whatever. Now, if it was four little slaps and the other guy drops seven hammers, well, okay. You know what? Like, let's be reasonable here. I mean, it's the quality of shots too. You know, at the same time, if the one guy lands nine to the side of the guy's helmet and then the one guy throws one back and breaks the guy's nose, who won the fight? I would say the guy that threw the one punch and broke the nose, the perfect example for me is how I look at it is, of course, the heavily debated Steve McLaren Scott Parker fight. Well, McLaren lands the majority of the punches, but Parker shattered McLaren's nose and he was bleeding all over. Well, Parker went to the penalty box and didn't miss a shift. McLaren missed like 3 weeks, but they'll have people on the mat. Oh yeah, McLaren won that. That's a win to get your face smashed. And meanwhile, you're landing shoulder pads inside of the headshots. Well, I'll take the loss then. If I have to go get reconstructive surgery to pick up a win, I'll take the loss. Thank you very much. The guy who apparently lost didn't miss a shift and didn't have a mark on him. So it's just shit like that. That's how I look at it. The point of fighting is damage. Well, nowadays I don't know what the point of it is, but damage and whatever, that's how I kind of looked at things. So a few helmet shots or, you know, whatever, then the other guy's landed straight on the face, but he's only landing a quarter of the punches. Well, I'd still rather get hit in the helmet than hit square in the face. So, yeah. But anyway, I'm yapping. I'm circling the drain here. Yeah, like I said, most of the fights that they had as losses, I mostly had draws. I mean, Paul Laws busted him open. They had Jody Shelley winning all four of those fights when he first came up. Nah, I mean, I had maybe the loss, but a couple draws, and then the one fight was meh. The LaRock fight, draw. Nazarov busted him open. Brashear really controlled their fight. When Brashear got to Vancouver, because I think he's on here a few times. It's like round 9, round 8. Brashear really controlled it. Like, you could see he was really tugging him around, and Probert was really... really could not have, because most of the fights early Probert, you could see he really manhandles guys, and he kind of really pushes them, especially if they're along the boards. He'll like push them up against the glass, and you could see him strength wise controlling it. And this one, you could just see Brashear just whipping him around. And Stu Grimson, in one of their last fights, Stu was with LA. He controlled them. They have him losing to Old Lion. Nah, that was a bunch of back and forth. McKenzie, some slap punches. And again, it's like, I go back to the whole, oh, well, McKenzie landed 8 and Probert landed 3, so Jim wins. Well, you know, I love Jim McKenzie too, but like, to me, that fight was just there. Just a couple guys hit each other a few times and Belanger really took it to him. I know I've talked about that fight before. Oh, there's a few Probert fans that, like, Belanger, you count it. Belanger lands 17 unanswered punches to Probert and then pulls them down. And they're like, yeah, Belanger bailed because Bobby was going to come back. And, well, okay. You know, sure, buddy. Domi, in one of their last fights, really landed the better punches. Worrell Morissette dropped Probert. Sandy McCarthy really got him. Langdon in 97. That's a really great fight. I would call it a draw, but they both, Langdon did really well in that fight. He had just come up that year and did really well. Like, he was fairly new. They have some of the coaster fights. To me, those were lame. I mean, whatever. Twist round 5. I guess. I mean, Twist and Probert never had the really great fight. Twist manhandled him a couple times. Probert deserved it though, because Probert actually elbowed Twist right in the face earlier in that game or the game before. So Twist was out for, like, he was pissed. So he got on Probert right away. The one Twist fight when him and Probert are swinging around, Probert steps on a stick and falls down. So as he goes down, as he's getting up, that basically Twist takes advantage. Not that I have a problem with it, but Twist really takes advantage of it there, and it's like, yeah, did he win? Yeah, but it was like, you know, kind of. The Darren McCarty fight, a bunch of nothing. Simon in the playoffs took it to him. Koser round 2, it's a bunch of body shots and then nothing. Tamer. Everybody with the Tamer fight, Tamer kind of catch. That's such a weird, that's the Chris Tamer fight with Probert, so bizarre, because everybody says, I've seen the fight 1,000 times, but again, it's fresh in my mind because I watched it this morning again. It's one of those things, everybody's like, oh, Probert was uninterested. Probert starts it. Like, he, it's a little scrum, and Probert kind of grabs him and initially is throwing the first few punches and, like, is really into it. And then they kind of grapple along on the dasher, and they're kind of going along, and Probert, for some reason, seems to, like, I don't know what it is. He lets his guard down, and Tamer catches him. I mean, was it a knockout or no, but I mean, he puts Probert down. Now, did Probert go down easy? He might have, just to get it over with. Probert looks actually really gassed, which I think is probably more of what was happening. But nonetheless, it's a loss. You can make all the excuses you want for Probert, but okay. The McCarthy fight in 94, Probert started off strong because he kind of jumped him, although Probert was mad at him because McCarthy had been running around a little bit the night before. But he gets on Sandy early, but then Sandy makes the comeback and he gives it to Probert. He controls the fight and everything else. And at the end, Probert's pissed. You could tell Probert's pissed, and Probert headbutts him, you know, cause he's frustrated. But yeah, I got to give Sandy the win on that. The Kurt Russell, the Cam Russell fight, It's hard to tell because the camera works so shitty. It's like along the glass. You see people stand up. You can't see it. You see Russell's kind of arm going a little bit, but yeah, you can't really tell. Grimson again when Stu's with Anaheim. He kind of controls it. They have Domi the first fight with Probert and Domi ever, the round one fight when Domi cuts him as a win for Domi. I have never seen that. To me, Probert, Domi's coming up short. I mean, obviously he lands a couple because Probert was cut, but to me, Probert wins that fight too. Like, I mean, he's all over Domi. I would give Bob the win in that fight. The Troy Crowder fights, obviously the first fight with Crowder. Yeah, Crowder's all over him without a doubt. The only thing that's always ever bugged me about that fight is, of course, Probert, his jersey gets over and he gets caught in his jersey, actually, and that's where Crowder cuts him below the eye. But once kind of Probert gets out of it and he's kind of, because you know how he does it, right? He gets out of his shit and that's when he starts really going. Well, the refs get in there right away. So I've always wondered how that fight would have went if the refs had stayed out of it. That would have been interesting. I'm not saying Probert would have come back and won. I'm just saying it would have been interesting to see how it all played out. I would definitely give Probert the win in their rematch. And then, of course, they fought again. And Crowder kind of jumped him in the third fight. And again, Probert kind of gets going. But Crowder definitely lands the best shot. Right when Probert comes out of like his shirt, everything, Crowder really cracks him with a right hard. Didn't go down, but he hits him hard. I would give Crowder kind of jumped him and all that, but you know, I would give Crowder probably the win on points in the third fight. Chychrun, I would definitely give Chychrun the win in their fight. Dave Brown, somebody's got Brown the first time they fought when Brown was in Philly. Yeah, that fight was a bunch of nothing. Miller in 87, you know who went. I mean, the only people that are giving Jay the win in this, I think people are listening to the announcers, of course, Goofy Sanderson, and, oh, you got to give that one to Jay. You know, like, no, you don't. I mean, Miller's trying, and he's throwing punches, but you watch those punches are coming up short, or they're little fluff bombs. Like, he's not hitting Probert with anything. He's active, but his arm is getting tied up because he's coming up short on a whole bunch of those punches. And it's like, but the Bruins announcer, they're just like, they're fucking Sanderson was embarrassing. God, those guys are brutal. But no, I would not give Miller the win. Semenko. Well, this one's always weird. It's when Semenko's in Toronto and he kind of jumps Probert. But he's kind of giving it to Probert. And then same thing. As soon as Probert gets out of his jersey and starts kind of making a comeback, of all people, Gerard Gallant jumps in. It's like, what did you jump in for? Probert's starting to make a comeback. So, I mean, I don't know. That Semenko started strong, but I don't know what Gallant. I never understood why Gallant jumped in. Their first fight with Berube. I think Berube breaks Probert's nose. I mean, Probert landed the more punches, but Berube got the best punch in. So I could see that because that goes back to my McLaren Parker theory. Berube in round three did really well with Probert too. Then of course he had the Ewan knockout. They got the Wendell Clark fight in their first fight than they ever in from 86. I don't. It's literally 9 seconds and Clark lands two punches. Well, Clark's 2-0. He won. Well, I guess, but I mean, I wouldn't even have freaking given him fighting penalties. I mean, I don't know what, whatever. Kurt Fraser, same thing. Shit, it's hard to tell. Fraser looks like he's kind of dominating, but it's along the, you can't see it. It's along the boards. All you see is like kind of Fraser's arm going up and down and whatever. So who knows? I mean, I guess so. Unless someone has another angle. And then Brian Curran, the first one. Yeah, I mean, Curran lands like 4 or 5 punches and then pulls Probert down. So it's like, kind of was over before it got going. But anyway, I don't know. Like, I added them all up. Basically, I found 20 there. That was just what was, like I said, that was just what Rob had listed. I didn't go and look at all of Probert's 300 NHL fights and break them all down. I didn't have that much time. But nonetheless, it was an interesting look. So again, it's one of those things. He never had 50 losses. No, he didn't. But he did have some. To the one guy who said he didn't have any more than 3. Well, he had more than 3. But as was brought up, well, how many of his wins? It'd be interesting to go back. I would think more of his wins were probably draws, like going by my opinion. But it would be interesting because I have these as some, a couple of them were like lost. I give them the win. Like I completely went the other way on some of these. So it'd be interesting to go back and look at his wins and like maybe I'd give him the loss, you know? I mean, who knows, right? I mean, I'm not going to do it, but it's because I really don't care that much. But it was an interesting look, and I really appreciate Rob for taking the time to break that because he's done a couple of these. He did Baumgartner, Dave Brown, and whatever. And I'll look into these as the weeks go on, but I appreciate him for taking the time to do it. But yeah, again, though, it's as it was brought up, as Chris was mentioning too, you just think of near 300 fights for Probert in his career, and really we're discussing, we're debating between 20 and 50 losses in over 300 fights. Unbelievable when you think about it. And it's like, you know what I mean? It's just like, how good was he, man? Unbelievable. And I'd really like to go through Bugard's too. I'm going to do that at some point when I have some time. I'm going to go through Bugard's entire fights in the NHL, and I just kind of use my scoring system. I'm not going to go by the drop your gloves record. I'll compare the two at the end, but I'm just going to kind of come up with my own, and I'll see how close I am. But yeah, but Probert for all that time, and like Steve said, I was surprised too because Probert was not a wrestler. Like he would, you know, he'd jockey for position, as they would say, and you know, whatever, and you know, pick his spots or maybe let the guy throw a few and then get set up and whatever. But often enough, it wasn't like he was hugging guys. Like, no, he was wide open. So, and he would eat shots. And I mean, what a chin and just what a career. And, you know, like I said, and I mean, I understand some people aren't Probert fans. That's fine. I'm not trying to, for those listening that aren't Probert fans, I'm not trying to convert you. You know, I've just, I mean, at the end of the day, if you call yourself a fight fan, how you would have anything bad to say about Bob Probert is beyond me. I don't know, unless he beat up your favorite guy or something, or you hate the Red Wings or whatever, which, okay, I guess, but I don't know, to me, I still find that eye-rolling. I mean, I always say, like, with Brashear, I mean, I get why people don't like him, okay, sure, but, you know, you got to give the devil his due, right? It's the same thing. Even if you don't like Probert, it's like, well, you can hate him all you want, but the proof's in the pudding, right? So, yeah, I mean, end of the day, I mean, we're talking between, whatever you want to call it, between 20 and 50 losses out of, like, 300 fights. And that's not including Junior in the American League. So, probably 400 fights. Like, phew. I mean, he might have lost. Obviously, I would assume he lost some fights in junior in the American League. I haven't seen all of that stuff, obviously, but it's a real shame that more Probert's junior stuff isn't out there. But you know, so obviously he would have lost more than that going back then as a kid. But just overall, you know, he won more than he lost, though. We'll put it that way. So what a career! And yeah, and I always say anytime it's you have to go down a Bob Probert rabbit hole, it's never a bad thing. All right. Well, we had to make it short. We're almost at the 50-minute mark. Well, that's kind of shorter than usual. Anyway, guys, that's about it. The last thing I wanted to bring up, I always do my week on the internet and what have you. And it's usually always about someone in a fight group or, you know, someone acting goofy or whatever and that type of thing. But no, actually, I wasn't going to talk about this. I wasn't going to bring it up, but the more I thought about it, I got irritated by it. And the thing is, it's happened before. So if it had never happened before, I probably wouldn't have brought it up. But, you know, and I hate giving this guy any more publicity than, I know that's what he looks for and attention and everything else. But, yeah, unfortunately, you know, when I did the Minor League Mayhem tournament and when I've done these tournaments, as I said, for those that aren't aware, again, I was telling you at the start, the 64-man bracket, we all vote, whatever. I have done ones I've called the Bob Probert Classic, where it's, you know, all the ex-NHL guys and whatever. And I've done six of those. I've done a bunch of power forward tournaments. I've done, again, this is the sixth minor league one. I've done a couple UK ones, you know. So overall, I mean, I've probably done about 20, 25 of these voting tournaments. And I mean, I've had fans every year because it's always kind of been the running joke. They'll, where's so-and-so? Where's this guy? Where's that guy? Everybody complaining about who's where and whatever. I mean, I will say this. When I make these brackets, it's not some personal crusade for me. I am just picking 64 guys. Obviously, when you're doing an NHL one or something, you're going to have Twist and Koser and McKinnon. Like, obviously. There's I always like to rotate and try to change it up. Because again, you could make these brackets 200-300 man brackets, and there's always going to be somebody missing. And it's never a personal thing or whatever. It's just that's I put out these brackets. So with the minor league ones, again, same thing. Every year, this is the sixth year I've done it. I've tried to change it up as much as I can. Again, and try to give it. And whoever wins, I sit them out for a year so someone else can win. So we have a different guy, and just stuff like that. And it's just like I basically take a piece of paper like this, my little notebook. I write down 1 through 64 and write all the names out. And then the computer picks them. It's a computer-generated number thing on Google. And that's I match the number up with the number that I wrote down on the thing, blah, blah, blah. There's a Facebook reel if you want to watch me do it. And that's it. And I asked a couple people, who do you think? I was trying to get some viewers. So we got Travis Howe and Alex Gallant and a couple. Chase Tippin is in this one. That's his first time being in this and stuff like that. And I tried to, Justin, sort of Grant McNeil. I believe this is for Amesbury. I believe this is his first one. Robin Big Snake. I tried to like add new guys and whatever, right? So when I put I always put the bracket up and I hashtag Minor League Mayhem. I said, tune into the episode where Jay and Alec and I break down the first round matchups. I wrote, this is on Facebook on my page. Tough bracket, tough to make going, and it's going to be tough to vote. Could have made a 300 man bracket and missed guys. Nothing personal, just trying to change it up as always. Last year's champ was Big Mac. He's not in this year's tournament. Hope everyone votes and comments. Please keep it respectful. It's all fun to create conversation. Thanks. That's all I put. And like I said, in all the years that I've done these tournaments, I've had fans complain and whatever, and I've had ex-players say, oh, that guy should be in it or whatever. I have never had a player bitch to me that he wasn't in the tournament until this year. And not only did he bitch, but he got personal and I didn't appreciate it. And I have no clue, like, did you not read what I put? I rotate different guys every year. And this particular individual has been in all of them. He was in the last five tournaments. So I don't know what you're complaining about. But it was none other, of course, Sean McMorrow has to complain. Because, of course. So his brother-in-law writes underneath, no McMorrow, which I didn't reply to. I didn't see it. I was at work. So I didn't reply. But Sean replies, no, he left me out. I guess the Haterade machine is staying at Darren's house. Then he keeps going on. Old Boys Club even exists in podcast land. I will make sure to bring this up at the sports conference on Friday when asked about the journey. What are you talking about? So you proceed to, after that, and I responded I change it up every year. It's nothing personal. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know why you're acting like this is some grand conspiracy. You were in the last, you've been in every one of them. And then, oh, okay. And then right away, but then he starts the Old Boys Club again. So I'm racist for not having you in. So, okay. And then Alec chimed in with the same thing. Like, no, he changes it up every year, whatever. Then you call him malicious or whatever, and he's a racist too, and for an hour you went on a little hissy, you had a little hissy fit that I didn't include you in a fantasy hockey tournament, and it was racism and whatever else you were babbling about. You made no sense. So I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about, but you're embarrassing yourself right now. Which you respond to, oh, say that to my face. Really? What is this, kindergarten? Say it to your face. Okay, like I said, well, if Ice Wars is ever in Edmonton again, Sean, I'll see you there and I'll say it to your face. I don't know what I'm saying because I didn't say anything, but you seem to have this delusion that we were calling you names or making racials. I have no idea what you think I said. All I did was put a fantasy bracket up and you somehow turned that around to me being a racist. Oh, okay. And you were going to discuss it at your conference there as part of your journey. Oh, all right. And then you started telling me that, oh, you could help me with things and you're a motivational speaker. If I need help, we hated your success. That was the other one. Alec and I hate your success. Again, what are you talking about? Seriously, dude. How delusional are you? What are you doing? And the only thing, normally I and this is the second time you've called me racist. In your process, way back when last year, when Alec did the episode on the Panarin-Subban incident that he posted, oh yeah, I'm going to be talking about this tomorrow on my show, which you immediately, of course, get a hold of him. I need to be on your show. I need to talk about that. And Alec was like, well, I already recorded it. Don't worry about it. And you got all mad about that because he didn't include you. The sheriff isn't included. You proceeded to go on your show when you were interviewing Jean-Luc Grandpierre and talk about the 30-year-old white guy in Florida that has no business talking about this. You didn't even listen to the episode. That's the most asinine thing of the whole thing. You didn't even, and I told you that in the private message when I sent it to you. I said, you didn't even listen to the episode. Why are you commenting on it? You didn't even listen to it. The ironic thing is you did exactly what Alex said people do in the episode. That's the funny thing. And then you called me a racist. Oh, you guys can't be talking about that. You're racist. That's what your comment was, your reply to me was. What? I'm like, I just said you didn't listen to the episode, so how can you even comment on it? Oh, you're racist. What? Okay. I'm racist, am I? So I think that's what bothers me the most is just your flippant attitude of throwing out the race card. Like, we're all racists or something. We're against Sean McMorrow and his success. What are you talking about? I pay no attention to you. I hate to break it to you. I don't pay any attention to you. I don't care. Good for you. Rock on, man. I don't care. And I'm like, well, I'll say it to your face then. Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, you're scary and all that. Oh, okay. I get I'm scary. Like, I don't know what you're trying to do. Are you trying to generate some... You know, what are we going to be the semi-main event at Ice Wars? Like, don't worry, Sean. I know you can kick my ass. I'm not saying I'm going to win. I would win. I know that. You got me. You can kick the fat boy's ass. Right on. Okay. I say it to your face. Once again, I don't know what I said. I didn't say anything, but okay. Whatever. If it's ever an event again, I will gladly discuss it with you wherever you want to discuss it. Okay. Whatever. But the thing is though, you come on my Facebook page on social media for everyone to read and openly say I'm a racist. That's where I have the issue with you. That's a pretty, you know, you're not just called, oh, hey, jerk, you know, or whatever. Hey, dummy, why aren't I, you know, you're not, oh no, a racist. That's pretty heavy to just flippantly throw around like that. And I've noticed you like to do that. As soon as something doesn't go Sean's way, you were racist. Everyone's a racist or against you or a hater or you hate your success or they're jealous of your success or what are you talking about? You've created some world that I have no idea what your deal is. I have no idea. I don't know what fantasy land you live in, but okay. No one's hating on you or believe me, Alec and I aren't paying attention to you. I hate to break it to you, but we're not. Sorry. Maybe we're the only ones, I guess, but whatever. I don't care. Good for you. Go do your show. Our shows don't compete. We do different shows. Okay? So I don't know where all this hostility came. And the thing is like I was bringing it up and I said, well, you can beat my ass in Edmonton then. Oh, there wouldn't be a fight. I'm Mr. Nice. The sheriff doesn't fight. Oh, that's another thing. Stop referring to yourself in the third person. That's embarrassing. And stop liking your own Facebook page post too. That's another one. But it's like, okay, so you went from being a racist to now there's not, you're going to say it to my face, but I'm a nice guy and on and on. What is this? You keep changing the goal. You're moving the goalposts here. First you're mad, then we're racist, then we're this, then you're a nice guy. Then I just want to help you guys. What? I don't know what. No, I had people sending me DMs saying, what is this guy talking? What's McMorrow talking about? I said, your guess is as good as mine. I have no idea. What you see here is, that's it. And I sent you a text privately. I said, what are you doing? I said, if you have a problem, text me. We can talk about it in text or give me a call. But you didn't reply, so whatever. So you want to grandstand, I guess, and let everybody, I don't know why, because you're looking completely foolish. You're arguing with yourself and calling people racists, and I don't know what you're talking about. That's at the end of the day, dude, I don't know what you're talking about. And then after it's all said and done, after your hour-long tirade about us being manipulators and racists and everything else, let's just erase all this back and forth, and I wish you guys well. Oh, okay, so you're going to, an hour ago you were calling us racist. Now we're good guys, and oh, it's all water under the bridge. Yeah, it don't work like that, man. Not in my world. So, and you know what? I'm a nice guy. No, you're not. You're not. I will say this right now. You're phonier than a $3 bill, all right? That's twice now you've called me a racist for no reason. I have no idea where this comes from. You go on and on about how I hate your success or whatever. I have no idea what that means. I gave you a platform. I helped you when you started. Why would I be hating your success? What are you talking about? Alec and I have never said anything about your show to anyone. I've never gone out on my show and shit on it. I've never shit on it and I've never in your comment section. I have never said anything about your show. I've never hated on it. What are you talking about? But I know you've hated on our shows. I know your little I've seen the videos, your little passive aggressive digs at us. At least with the Sheriff podcast, we don't need a network. We don't need this. We're not like those guys. I know who you're talking about. I've heard from guests that have told me, why did you go on his show? My show's better. I know. I've seen the text messages, dude. Whatever. I've never said anything to you about it. If you want to be high school girl drama and send little notes to people and why are you going on his show? You should be on my show and literally get mad at him over it. Why, man? Why? Don't act like it didn't happen. I've seen it. It's happened multiple times. I've seen it. I've been told. I mean, whatever. I don't get it, though. What did we do to you? Why are you trying to, are you that insecure, man? Come on. Really? The podcast world's big enough for all of us. No one's trying to put you down or keep you down. You do you. We're over here doing... Well, Alex doesn't even have a show anymore. I'm doing my show. You can do your show. You go knock yourself out. No one's hating on you. I mean, if that's some motivation thing that you use, okay, whatever. But leave me out of it. So, anyway, folks, I've yapped long enough that, I hated to bring it... I know you love attention, but... And I hated to bring it to you, but it was just really disappointing and upsetting, to be honest. Like, I mean, to be called a racist on like social media all over, by an ex-player that has a fairly large platform was a little disappointing for no reason. At the end of the day, you were mad because you weren't included in a fantasy fight tournament for the first time in 6 years. And so that made me a racist. That's what it came down to. You know how pathetic that sounds? Exactly. So that's it. I'm not going to forget about that. And so you know what? I saved both of us a lot of time and whatever. I just blocked you. I don't want to see your shit in my timeline anymore. I don't care. You go do you. Knock yourself out. Good luck to you. I hope your show does well. I hope you get, wherever you're trying to go, whatever, the Sean and Friends Hour. I mean, go ahead. I'm going to be over here just doing my show, talking to my friends and fellow fight fans and enjoying it as a hobby. I know you've told me that this is like your resume and you're just trying to, and that's great that you want to make steps and try to get to wherever you want to go to Sportsnet or TSN or whatever. Good luck to you. That's not why I'm doing this. So we obviously have different goals with our podcasts and that's cool, whatever, but no one's trying to shit on you or knock your show down or anything. So I don't know what war you're waging, and against who. But whatever. But that's my only advice to you. Anytime maybe someone disagrees with you or doesn't include you, you know, maybe find out the reasons why instead of immediately just going to the race card and they're racist. They're trying to hold me down and they hate the success I'm having. No, that's not it. And for you to, like I said, for you to kind of flippantly just throw that around, like it's not a, and then at the end, ah, you know, whatever, let's just get on with things. No hard feelings, fellas. Yeah, there are hard feelings. You called me a racist twice on social media. Yeah, so no, I'm done with you. I don't feel like talking to you anymore. I don't want to have any communication with you. I tried to communicate with you. You didn't want to return my text or give me a call to discuss this like adults. So we're done. We're done. I don't want to talk to you anymore. And if I see you at Edmonton, whatever, if you have some big issue with me, I'm not hard to find. Come find me. But I don't want to talk to you. I want nothing to do with you. I don't want to talk to your brother-in-law. So stay away from me. I don't. But unless you want to go talk about it somewhere, I'm all ears. And I will discuss it with you. Fine. But I'm not going to seek you out because I have nothing to say to you. So, and I don't want to hear from you. So whatever. You go do you. I'm going to be over here. And sorry, folks. I hate to this friggin' drama bullshit. And I hate, it's like high school. You know, like we're a little bunch of teenage girls giggling and laughing and talking in the bathroom behind people's backs. Eh. No, that ain't my thing. But I just wanted to address it because, like I said, I didn't appreciate being called a racist on social media for a second time. Stupidity. But, yeah, that's that. So, sorry, folks, to bring that up. But I just wanted to address it at the end here. And, yeah, that's it. That is the last I will talk about it. So, anyway, guys, I got to wrap up and get ready for my interview here. But thanks for tuning in. Hope you enjoy it. Remember, get out and vote. Fourth Line Voice on Facebook. Get out and vote on the 6th Annual Minor League Mayhem Tournament. Leave some comments. Let's have a good discussion and enjoy it. And we'll be back here on Wednesday. Thanks, guys.
And you people that don't like fighting, how many of you did you walk out and get a coffee while that was on?